Now, Kinelach Sarah was in the tent, and the tent was near the Malach, behind the Malach, and she also heard when the Malach said she's going to have a baby. But she also laughed, but her laughter was a little bit different than Avram's laughter. Because a little bit, she laughed like, I'm 90 years old already. I'm almost 90. She was 89 years old. By the time she would have a baby, she would be 90 years old. Did you ever hear of a 90-year-old woman to have a baby? And a little bit, a tiny, tiny little bit, when she laughed, it was like, how could it ever be? A little tiny bit like, how could it ever be? And later on, we're going to see that Hashem judges a tzaddik or a tzaddikus very, very strictly. And this little tiny thing was the only tiny thing that Sarah ever did in her whole life that was a little bit wrong in the eyes of Hashem. Even though by a regular person, it was nothing. Like if you have, let's say, a regular table and there's a tiny, tiny piece of dust on it, you don't even notice it. But if you have a beautiful white tablecloth, perfectly white, and there's a tiny speck of something on there, right away you could see it. A tzaddik or a tzaddikus is like a beautiful white, pure tablecloth, and any little tiny thing shows up on them. Hashem is strict with them. And now the malachim were done eating, and Malach Mechoyel had done his job of giving Avram and Sarah the good news, because Malach Mechoyel is the Malach of Besurais Toivais, of good news and nice things. And so the Malachim got up to leave. And they're getting up to go away. And they say goodbye to Avram. Avram doesn't only give them to eat and drink, but in Hakmasa Sarachim you also walk along together with the Orachim, you take them to the door, or you take him to the car, or you take him down the street. Now, Avram also was walking along with them to say goodbye to them. And they left now, and Avram had felt that he had special people, and he had some kind of news from Hashem, and most of the tzaddikim who explained the Chumash say that Avram didn't know they were malachim, just special people. And now they leave. Where are these malachim going now, Kinelach? I'm going to tell you. As soon as they turned around the corner and they went where Avram could not see them, Malach Mechoyel disappeared and he went back up into Shemayim. Because now he was done with his job. He has nothing more to do in the world because he was only sent to do the things that he did. And now he has to go back up to Hashem to do more jobs because he's a Malach. He's a Shliach for Hashem. That leaves over Malach Gavriel and Malach Raphael. Two Malachim are left over now, and they are on their way to Stoim. Stoim was a very, very bad city. In fact, it was probably the worst city that ever was in the whole world. Hashem had given Stoim a big chance to do tshuva, because the people of Stoim had big, big avedas. And in fact, whatever was a mitzvah by Avraham was an aveda in Stoim. Anyway, I'll tell you about that in a minute, but these two malachim are going to Stoim. Gavriel is going to punish the people of Stoim and destroy Stoim, because Malach Gavriel is the punishing malach. If Hashem has a punishment and he wants to punish somebody, he sends Malach Gavriel to do that. But Malach Raphael is the doctor Malach. He is in every doctor's office and helps the doctors in the hospitals. And he's the Malach of Refuah Shleimus and also of saving people. And he is being down to sin to save Avram's nephew, Lot. Remember, Lot was living in Stoim? Lot and his family. Since it's Avram's family, Hashem has Rachmanis on them, and he's going to save them from the destruction. So Gavriel is going to punish the people of Sodom and destroy the place, but Raphael is going to save Lot and his family. And they are now on their way to Sodom. Now let me tell you a little bit about Sodom. Do you remember that Avram, in Parshas Lech Lecha, Avram and Lot and Sarai, they came out of Mitzrayim, and they had now a lot of money, and they had a lot of animals, and Avram and Lot couldn't live together, that whole story. So Avram said to Lot, okay, you take one way, and I'll take a different way. And Lot chose to live in Sodom. Remember that? But, unfortunately, his money went to his head in a not good way, and all he wanted over there was to go and have fun with his money, but not a tighter way of fun, and he wanted to just do all kinds of things with his money that would take him all far away from Hashem, and he went to Sodom. Avram knew that Lot is going to get in trouble, and he lived close by, and he knew that someday Lot is going to need his help. Now the Medrash says like this, what kind of a place was Sodom? One day, Avram was worried about Lot. My nephew, I know that he's in Sodom and it's such a schlechte place. First of all, by Avram there was a mitzvah of tzedakah. You help people. In Sodom you were not allowed to help people. You were not allowed to give tzedakah. You're not allowed to give food to a poor person. If they catch you doing that, you're in trouble. In the classroom, the teacher said, anybody who shares is in trouble. You have a snack today? Keep it for yourself. Somebody has 10 cookies, he's not allowed to give one to his friend. That's sharing. You're not allowed to do that. Any kind of sharing, any kind of tzedakah, you're not allowed to do. Poor person came to Sodom. I'm hungry, please give me some food. He came to a house, and they would close the door in his face. Even though in the house was plenty of food, they didn't share. They didn't help people. Haknasas Orachim also. What was the mitzvah by Avram? Haknasas Orachim? Have people, have guests over, feed them. In Sodom, you were not allowed to have an Orach. If a person lived in Sodom, you could invite him. But somebody from outside of Sodom, or somebody who wasn't your friend, you would be punished by the police if you had somebody in your house. And other such things. One day, Avram is worried about Lot, and he says to Eliezer, Avram had, of course, we know Eliezer, his servant. He says, Eliezer, I want you to go to Sodom, and I want you to just to see how Lot is doing. Please go to Sodom, take a trip, and see what he's doing over there, see how Lot is, and come back and tell me. Okay, Eliezer now travels to Sodom. Now remember, Sodom was a big city, beautiful, people were very, very rich there. But as their behavior is, you see, was the opposite of good. Two goyim are fighting in the street in Sodom as Eliezer is walking by. They're hitting each other, they're punching each other, a big fight is going on. And Eliezer knew that this is not the way people should act, fighting like that. He tried to break it up. Hey, stop fighting. Don't you know that's not the way to act in Hashem's world? And the two goyim got up and they said, hey, you're not from Sodom. Don't tell us what to do. What do you think you are? If we want to fight, we could fight, and you don't tell us what to do. And one of them picked up a rock and he threw it on Eliezer, and the rock hit him in the head. And he made a boo-boo on his head, and it started to bleed. Eliezer says, hey, wait a minute. What are you doing? I'm trying to help you, not to fight. I'm trying to break up a fight, and you throw a rock on my head, you make me to bleed? You're not going to get away with this. Let's go to the judge. I'm taking you to the judge. And now Eliezer takes the two goyim, and they find the courthouse where they have the judge, and they go to the judge because they have a case. Eliezer says, he threw a rock and he made me bleed. He's got to be punished for it. And he goes to the judge. Okay, they go up in front of the judge over there in Sodom, and Eliezer explains what happened, and the judge says, okay, this is the law of Sodom. You, Eliezer, you have to pay $10 to the man that threw the rock on your head. You pay him $10. Eliezer says, what? Wait a minute. He threw a rock on my head. He made me a boo-boo and made me bleed and made me hurt. And I'm bringing him here that he should be punished. And you're telling me I should pay him $10. The judge says, that's right. He did you a favor. You should say thank you and give him $10. And Eliezer says, what do you mean, thank you and $10? The judge says, look, the way our doctors work is if a person is sick, what they do is they make a cut and they let out some blood. And the bad blood, when it goes out, the person feels better. It's called bloodletting. So you, instead of having to go to a doctor and paying, let's say, $20 by a doctor for such a visit, he does it for free. He makes a rock go on your head. He lets out some blood. So the least you should do is pay him $10 and say, thank you, he let out some blood. Probably it was bad blood. And so you should pay him $10 for doing you a favor of letting out some blood. Now, of course, Eliezer saw that this judge, this Stein, is really a big baloney meiser because this is not fair. But he saw that he had no way out. Eliezer was a very smart man, a very clever. So he had an idea. He says, okay, judge, is this the final word that you have to say? The judge says, oh, yes. Okay, wait a minute, before I pay, 1 second. Eliezer goes out in the street and he picks up a rock. He comes back in, he says, judge, you sure I have to pay $10 for the favor? The judge says, right, it's a favor he did. So Eliezer takes the rock and he throws it and he hits the judge in the head and he makes a boo-boo on the judge's head and out comes blood. And the judge says, oh, you're going to be in big trouble now. You made me a boo-boo on my head and let out blood. Eliezer says, wait a minute. I owe him $10 because of what I did, right? And now I did you a favor, so you owe me $10, right? Because you just said, is that the law in Stein? Somebody makes a boo-boo on the head, lets out blood, it's worth $10 a favor. So you owe me $10, and I owe him $10, so instead of me paying him $10 and you pay me, you pay him the $10. Eliezer went down the street, and he was hungry, and he knew that to get food in Stoim is not easy, because if you're not from Stoim, nobody wants to give you any food. You know, even to buy food, it's very difficult. For example, a beggar, if he goes around to ask for food, they don't give him. Or they do something worse. Instead of slamming the door in his face and not giving him food, they say, oh, you know what? We'll give you money. You can take the money and you can buy food. So the beggar is very happy. Oh, to buy food. I'll go to the store and buy food. So they give him money and he goes to the store to buy food. And he's got a lot of money. But there's certain marks on the money that the store owners know about these marks. And what happens is that the money is not worth anything. And you can't buy anything for the money. It's only to play a not nice trick on the beggar. So the beggar takes the food and he wants to eat it and he puts the money down to buy it. And the store man says, I'm sorry, this money is no good. He can't buy the food. So it's even worse because he has the money and the money doesn't buy him anything. They don't sell him anything. They take the food away to play a not nice trick. And Bechlal, somebody that's from outside of Stoim, they treat completely differently. Now, Eliezer was very hungry, and he's going down the street, and he sees a big party going on, many, many people, a lot of food over there, delicious food he sees in the window, and so many people, he thinks, listen, maybe I'll go into the party, and, I'll take some food. Now, Eliezer sat down by the table, there was a place over there, and he sat down and he wanted to eat something. And the man next to him says, hey, you're not from Stoim, are you? Eliezer says, well, no. He says, don't you know the law? Nobody's allowed to come to a party if you're not from Stoim, and whoever invites you to the party is in big trouble. They'll get punished. And Eliezer smiles. He says, "Oh, you're my friend. You invited me to this party. Yeah, thank you for inviting me to this party." And so the man says, "I didn't invite you." "Oh, yeah, yeah, you invited me to the party, remember?" And the man gets very, very afraid, because if people look around, they see that he invited this man to the party, he'll be in big trouble. So he runs out of the party. And Eliezer moves over and eats up all the food in his plate. Eliezer is still hungry. And the man next to Eliezer, who's sitting there, the next man, he turns around and he says, "Hey, who are you? Are you from Stein?" Eliezer says, "No, but remember, you invited me to this party, remember? Thank you for inviting me." And the man gets embarrassed. "Uh-oh, I better get out of here before somebody thinks I invited him to the party." And Eliezer moves over and eats up everything on his plate. And so Eliezer finally was able to eat. This is the kind of thing that went on in Stein. Now, people in Stein were very rich, but they also liked to have more money. So they had a wall. And this was a fake wall. And if a rich man came from outside of Stein, he would go down the street, he would stand next to the wall, and they would pull a rope, and the wall would fall down on the rich man's head, and knock him down, and they would run out and take away his money. And then they would build up the wall again, and then they would wait for the next rich man to come by, and as soon as he would come by, if he was not from Stein, they knew he had money in his pockets, so they're hiding behind the wall, and as soon as he gets by the wall, they pull the rope, and the whole rope falls down on his head, the whole wall falls down on his head, knocks him over, and they come out, and they take the money out of his pants to get more money for themselves. And they were busy stealing all the time. And they were schlecht. Until, why did Hashem finally decide to destroy the place? I'll tell you a very sad story. A very terrible story. Now, Lloyd was living in Stein. Lloyd had a daughter, and her name was Fleeces. Now, one day, there was a beggar going around outside, and nobody was giving him food, and nobody was giving him money, and he looked so hungry, and Fleeces felt sorry for this beggar. Because after all, she had a little bit of feeling in her heart to help a poor person. Because she remembers her uncle Avraham, how he would feed people in the house and take care of poor people and have rachmanis and give tzedakah. And she saw that when she used to be around Avraham before they split up, before her father took the family to Stein, she remembers all the good things that Avraham did, and she knew that that was right. And even though in Stein people didn't act that way, she still knew that that was wrong. She felt what was right and wrong. And as this poor man, day after day, is going around begging and starving and getting skinnier and skinnier, and his clothes are getting more torn, she felt so bad for him. Until one day she made up her mind that she wants to help him. But if she helps him, she'll get in big trouble. Because they even killed people in Stein for giving tzedakah or giving food to poor people and things like that, or sharing. So how could she do it? How could she help him and not get caught? So she decided in a secret plan like this. In the evening, the girls would go out to the well to get water. They would take a jug, like a big pot, and they would take it to the well, and then they would fill it up with water, and they would bring it home to their house. So the family would have water for the rest of the day, because they didn't have faucets, and they didn't have sinks and stuff like that. And Fleeces took the jug of the empty bottle, the empty big jug, and she goes out to get the water, but before she leaves the kitchen, nobody's looking, she stopped, and she took a loaf of bread, and she took some other food, and she put it in the jug, in the empty jug. She put it in there. And then she put the jug on her head, and she went outside to walk to the well to get the water. And as she's walking, she passes by the poor beggar who's starving, and he's laying in the street. He can hardly move. because he's so skinny and so hungry, and he hadn't eaten for days. And she passes by this beggar. And she pretends like she has to rest for a while, and she puts the jug down on the ground. And she's just sitting down, she's pretending that she has to take a rest. And she was close by the beggar. When nobody was looking, she leaned over the jug near to him that he could look inside. And she says, "Psst, psst, look, look." He lifts up his eyes with the little koyach he had left, and he saw in the jug a loaf of bread and some food. And she motions him, take it, quick. And he reaches his hand inside and he takes it and he puts it inside of his coat. And then she got up and she left to go get the water. Well, you can imagine, she saved the man's life and he ate the food. He went around in the bushes that nobody could see and he ate the food. Now, the next day, also, he was a little bit better, but he's still very hungry. And he was sitting around over there near the same place that he was before. And she, again, put food in the empty jug when she was going out to get the water, because by then it's empty. And she put more food in the jug, because in the kitchen, she put more food when nobody was looking. And again, she pretends to rest. And she motions to the beggar to take the food. And each day, she gave this beggar food. And nobody ever saw. But this is the problem. One day the police are going around Stoim and they're watching people and they're looking to see that everybody's behaving themselves like in Stoim they should behave themselves. And some policemen were walking down the street and they saw the beggar. And they say, "Hey, look at this. This beggar's walking around. He's walking around on 2 feet. He looks good. His face looks good. He looks healthy. Just a few days ago, he was lying down ready to die. And he was so skinny. Look at his face now. It's getting a little bit fatter. Hey, if he's in Stoim and nobody's giving him food, how could he possibly get fatter and look better? He should be dead already." And the other policeman says, "It must be that somebody's giving him food. Oh, somebody in Stoim is giving food to a poor person. Oh, we better find out who that is and punish them. This is not allowed in Stoim." And they went to the police station and they rang the bell and they called all the policemen to an emergency meeting and all the policemen come to the police station and they announced that someone in Stoim must secretly be giving the poor man food. And all policemen have to go now to an emergency to look all around until they find who is feeding the poor person and breaking the laws of Stoim. And so, starting the next day, policemen were everywhere, and they're spying, and they're looking at everybody, and they're behind trees, and behind bushes, and behind rocks, and they're everywhere looking to see what people are doing, and checking to see if people have food that they're giving away and they're possibly sharing or helping anybody. And all over, policemen are going around spying and looking. And that day, boys, Fleeces also was going with a jug to get water. And also that day, she put food inside of her jug. And she thought nobody was looking. She went to the place where the beggar was, that he every day came to get food, and she gave in. And again, she rested. She pretended she needed the rest, and she tipped over the jug that the beggar should get the food. And she didn't know that behind the tree were 2 policemen, and they were watching everything she was doing. And as they were watching, they saw the poor man reach his hand in the jug and pull out a loaf of bread and food. And all of a sudden the policeman came out. "We found the criminal! We found it! It's this girl! And she has to be punished for giving food to a poor person!" And he started yelling, "We found the criminal!" And all the policemen came running and all the people of Spain came running. Punish her, punish her. She's breaking the laws of Stoim. So they took fleeces and they did a terrible punishment. I hate to say even what it was, but I have to tell you what it was. In front of everybody, to show everybody that they shouldn't do the same thing, they made a fire and they burned her up in the fire in order to teach everybody not to give tzedakah and not to give food to people. And this is what the kinds of things they did in Stoim, and Hashem was getting so angry at them. Until Kinelach, that was almost the last thing, until Hashem decided to destroy this city, until the last thing happened, a friend of Fleece's, who was there, and she saw what happened, she decided that Fleece's was right to give the poor person food, and the people of Stoim were all wrong, and even though her friend died, she would still even do the same thing with Mesiras Nefesh to help a poor person. Because after all, the people of Stoim were very rich and they had plenty of food. Why not share with a poor person? And she herself, soon after, did the same thing. She gave food to a poor person, a different poor person, and she was caught. And the policemen were so upset that somebody else did the same thing, they decided the punishment this time has to be worse than burning her up in front of everybody. And now they did a worse thing, and I hate to tell you what it was, but I have to, because you have to understand what the Torah says. They took a big thing of honey, and they poured it all over her. And now they took her out to a field where there was a beehive, where bees live. The big black bumblebees. The big buzzy, big fat kind of bees, not the little bees that come into your sukkah, but the big scary bumblebees that make a big noise. And bees, when they smell the honey, they get very excited and they fly towards the honey. And if the bees get very angry, then they could chas v'shalom sting. So what they did was, they took her over there, they poured the honey all over her, they tied her up, and they threw a rock on the beehive, and all the bees came out very, very upset and very angry and sort of buzzing all around to look to see who threw the rock. And right away they smelled all that honey, and as they were angry, they flew down on the girl, all stinging all over her, and she was screaming and nobody helped her. And that scream went up into the Shemayim. And Hashem heard that scream, and Hashem says, that's it. I gave them enough chance to do tshuva. 52 years I'm giving them a chance to do tshuva. And they're still not doing tshuva. And even after the four kings took everything, and Avram warned them to do tshuva, or something worse is going to happen, they still didn't listen to Avram. And so now Hashem says, it's enough chances. I'm going to destroy Stoim. And that's why he sent Malach Gavriel. Malach Gavriel, his shlichus, his thing that he has to do, is to destroy Stoim. So Malach Gavriel is going, and Malach Raphael is going. Malach Raphael is going to save Lot and his family, and they're going to Stoim. Now Hashem decided, he's going to tell Avram what he's going to do. Why should Hashem tell Avram what he's going to do? Because Hashem gave Avraham Eretz Canaan, the land. It's going to belong to Avram and his children. And now all of a sudden Hashem is going to destroy part of the land. Actually, five cities. Because by Stoim there were another four cities that were all Shlecht. And they were all in a place called Kikar HaYarden. And all of these cities were going to be destroyed because they were all doing so many Avedis. So, Hashem said, it's only fair if I'm going to give Avram the land, and now all of a sudden I'm going to destroy part of it, I should let him know. And so he told Avram. Avram's standing there, remember, after he had taken the Orchim, down the road, Avram was still standing there. And Hashem said, Avram, I'm going to destroy Stoim and the other cities because they're a big Rishoyim. And you might think that Avram would say, good! Those people are so terrible, they deserve to be destroyed. And look how many chances you gave them. And look how selfish they are. And look how mean they are. Look how terrible they are. You know, Avram didn't say that. Avram said, Hashem, it's no fear. How can you do that? What about the good people that are living over there? I mean, not everybody is so terrible. Probably there are going to be at least 50 tzaddikim over there. Are you really going to destroy a place and kill also the 50 tzaddikim? And he tried to save the place. He tried to find a way to save not only the 50 tzaddikim, but everybody would be saved also. Avram didn't want to see anything happen that wouldn't be fair. And Hashem said, okay, Avram, for 50 tzaddikim, I'll let the place alone. I will not destroy the place. Well, Kenelach, Avram is still not satisfied. And he said, what about if there's only 45? How many is between 50 and 45? Only 5. What if you count and you're not going to find 50, but you're going to find 45? Are you still going to destroy the place? And he begged Hashem not to, and Hashem finally said, okay, if I find 45, I'm not going to destroy Stein. And Avram still didn't give up, and he said, what if there's only 40? Only 40. Hashem said, okay, for 40. Then Avram said, what about if there's only 30? Will you still destroy the place? Hashem said, okay, not. And what about 20? Hashem said, okay, for 20 not.